Respect the bell.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
T-H-E-B-E-L-L. B-E-L-L.
There's two L's in Bell now.
Oh, boy. Bad at
spelling. The British version.
We'll cut that. We'll start over. Welcome to the Crunch Exchange. It's where I bring up a prospectus from the world of sports, and Steve tells us if he's buying or selling. We begin with Ronald Acuna Jr. is a stud. He debuted last season at 20 years old, ran away with the NL Rookie of the Year award by hitting .293, 26 home runs, 64 RBI, an all-star level war at 4.1. Just an incredible story for a kid who signed out of Venezuela at 16, and the Braves rewarded him by signing him to a 7-year extension worth $100 million guaranteed. Add on two long team options at the end of that deal, and the Braves could have Acuna in Atlanta until he's 29. I mean, this deal on paper seems great. 21-year-old rookie of the year doesn't have to haggle through arbitration, be worried about getting nickel and dimed until he's a free agent, or any of the worries Machado and Harper went through this winter. Acuna gets $100 million. That's got to be a win, right? But what this deal probably is the Braves buying out Acuna of at least two free agency years and locking in his salary at an AAV of $12.5 million. That's a steal for the Braves, assuming Acuna continues to trend upward to be a potential MVP-caliber player. Assuming Acuna does move towards that MVP-level player, it's not absurd to think that he should be making about twice as much as what he would be making. The Braves are saving a ton of money on this contract, and if you're an optimist, you'd think that the Braves would go out and spend that extra money on other players to build around their young, talented roster. But we know what the Braves are really going to do is save that money, hide it away, raise ticket prices, and beers prices.
Wow.
Other players are signing off on these extensions, buying themselves out of free agency years, fearing if they hit free agency, they will either have to take a short deal or sit and collect dust, like Kimbrel and Keuchel. The prospectus, contracts buying out players of free agency, is bad for baseball.
He just became the youngest athlete in history to get a nine-figure deal. He's 21. The economics of the game have changed a little bit. He would have had to have played three more years, then arbitration. We don't know how great he's going to be. He looks good. I think it's give and take on both sides. This has never happened. Normally, they'd have had him for like $600,000 next year, $625,000 the year after that, and then arbitration, he probably would have gotten $15, $16 million. I don't think it's bad. First of all, I think we need more data, but a 21-year-old just got $100 million. I think that's good for everybody. I'm selling that.
Yesterday was a lot of fun for baseball fans. Bryce Harper returned to D.C., capped off the night with the best regular season bat flip of all time. Ramon Laureano threw another laser from center fielder for the A's. The Mariners cemented their 161-1 season. Madison Bumgarner and Zach Greinke both hit home runs. Mad Bum hit a two-run home run off the Dodgers' Hyunjin Ryu, and Greinke hit two home runs against the Padres, bringing up once again the idea of the DH coming to the National League. You've got your pros, potentially more offense, less bunts, less strikeouts, good hitters staying in the league longer because they don't have to worry about being old and playing defense. Plenty of other positives as well, but the cons are that we don't get to see Bartolo Colon ever hit his first career home run, Bumgarner, who regularly takes Clayton Kershaw deep, or even the greatest moments ever, which is watching a relief pitcher hit. The prospectus, yesterday's hitting performance by Mad Bum and Greinke is proof that DH will never come to the NL.
Wow. I don't even see it on the table. So never is a strong word, but from what they're talking about this year, next year, the year after, I'm going to stick to the immediate future. So I'm going to buy that.
There was an incredible revelation from the NBA today, and I'm not talking about the 2021-20 game from Russell Westbrook. This comes from Marcus Thompson of The Athletic, who revealed that Wardell Stephen Curry II is now wearing contacts. Thompson reported that, quote, he has a condition called keratoconosis, known as in the ophthalmology field as KC. It was a distortion given Curry as astigmatism, which doesn't distribute like equally to the retina and leaves blurred or distorted vision. I gave myself too many big words to read there. That's right. After 9 years in the NBA, 24,069 made threes, 5 seasons of leading the league in three-point shooting, making shots from the logo like it's nothing, Steph Curry this whole time hasn't been able to see the basket clearly. In his last 6 games, Curry is shooting 51% from three, and he's only 20 behind James Harden for making the most in the league this season. The prospectus, armed with the gift of clear sight, Stephen Curry leads the league in made threes.
This year?
this year.
And how many is he behind?
20. 640 or 360 to 340.
There's only like five games to go. It's like when Wild Thing got glasses. I'm going to sell that one.
Shame. The race for the playoffs in the East is pretty wide open. Detroit sitting in sixth is one game over 500. They're still being chased by four teams for the final three spots. The more important race, though, is between the Celtics and the Pacers. These two teams are tied for fourth with 46 and 32 records and will more than likely play each other in the first round of the playoffs. Boston's final four at Miami, at Indiana, versus Orlando, and at Washington. The Pacers finish at Detroit, versus Boston, versus Brooklyn, and at Atlanta. That's one last head-to-head matchup, and each team is taking on two other teams still in the playoff hunt. Plenty on the line, as Boston is 3-1 in their last four. The Pacers, going the other direction, are 1-3. The prospectus, Boston will have home court advantage in their playoff series against Indy.
So they're tied with Indy right now with four games to go. They're not going to catch Philly, and then none of them are going to get caught by Detroit because they're too far back. I think they've turned a corner a little bit, and with all things being equal, looking at those rosters, you almost have to be nuts not to pick the Celtics, so I'm going to buy that.
Russell.
And I hope I'm wrong, and I hope they fold the franchise.
Boston falls into the Atlantic. Russell Wilson has been a savior for the Seahawks. He took the starting job from Matt Flynn after being drafted in the third round, took the Seattle to the Superb Owl twice, won one, and has been one of the more electric players in the NFL ever since. His contract is up at the end of this season. Wilson will be 31 when he becomes a free agent, and with how quarterbacks have been trending to play until they're about 40, Wilson has somewhere between 7 and 10 more years in the NFL, assuming his concussion water actually works, and the Seahawks O-line isn't a series of turnstiles and sieves. Wilson wants to be the highest paid quarterback in the league, higher than Aaron Rodgers' deal that he got 4 years, $134 million, and he wants it done by April 15th. The prospectus, Russell Wilson will sign his new contract by April 15th.
Woof. What's today, the 3rd? The one thing I like is Schneider and Pete Carroll acknowledging it rather than saying, you know, we'll talk about it another time. They're working on it. They can't go into this offseason wondering if they're going to get a deal done with him. This is, for me, I would say 95 out of 100 times a sell. I just have a feeling the way this franchise works with Wilson, as successful as they've been, the quality of this organization, I'm actually going to buy that.
Wow, last one here. Defense wins championships. It's a cliche that reigns over every other cliche in every sport, and really, it's not wrong. You've got a better chance of winning if the team you're playing isn't scoring. That's exactly what you get when you look at Virginia and Texas Tech. UVA is number one in Sports Reference's defensive rating with 20.87. Texas Tech is third at 17.06. And it's very fitting that UVA and Texas Tech are taking on two of the better offenses left in the NCAA tournament all of this year in Michigan State and Auburn, who are 7th and 8th, respectively, according to Sports Reference. The prospectus, defense does win championships, and UVA and Texas Tech will meet in the national championship game.
Wow. This I'm going to have to think about. Very crumbly. Yep. So, Auburn or Michigan State. Now, one of them is just going to get scored on and blow it. I had UVA making the championship game. And losing to Gonzaga. I did have Michigan State in the Final Four, losing to Gonzaga. I had UVA losing to Kentucky. So you're just asking me if they're going to play for the national title.
Yep.
You know what? I think it's a good matchup both ways. So I'm actually leaning towards buying that. So I will buy that. I guess I could hit pending and wait till Sunday, but that would be cheating.
It would be.